That time of the day again, and I certainly want to thank all of you for being with us today. Had an interesting show, I think, and we'll have another good one for you tomorrow, I promise you that. So do join us again tomorrow here on the Head On Radio Network with the Guy Jeans Show, Billy Shears, music director. Let me
It's the Quality News Network. The multinational force in Iraq will be down to 7,000 troops, excluding American forces. That is down from the once 50,000-member large coalition. U.S. forces in Iraq are at a peak surge high of 168,000 troops currently. President Bush wants to give telecommunications companies immunity in the new eavesdropping law. The legislation would allow the National Security Agency to listen in to phone conversations without warrants. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent state to have pre-1967 borders. He is also calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territories it captured four decades ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month. In Pakistan, as many as 250 people have been killed in recent fighting near the Afghan border. The Pakistani army halted attacks today so that local residents could attend funerals. President Bush is against a resolution that would call the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Armenians a century ago as genocide. He explained that this is a sensitive time for U.S. relations with Turkey concerning northern Iraq, and the resolution could harm relations between the countries. In Turkey, at a festival marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan, five people were injured when a bomb was thrown at a police vehicle. The blast was near a busy marketplace. There was a shooting at a Cleveland high school today. As many as four people were shot by a 14-year-old suspect who is now dead. Reports say the suspected shooter was upset over a suspension. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says he was misquoted when he recently spoke at Columbia University and said there were no gays in Iran. He said he meant there were not as many homosexuals in Iran as there are in the United States. Columbia University has begun a hate crime investigation after a hangman's noose was found hanging on the office door of a black professor at the school's teaching college. China is being condemned by an international media rights group because of its internet controls, which limit news and personal expression. The group, Reporters Without Borders, says the Chinese censorship is an insult to online freedom. The mayor of Atlantic City, New Jersey, has resigned after a mysterious two-week disappearance. His lawyer says he was treated for health issues at a mental health clinic.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher, and you tell her you're too tired to look for it. I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
The journal Nature reports that global warming may be making humidity worse. In nearly three decades, the amount of moisture in the air has increased 2.2%, according to research. A German scientist won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry this year for his work that helps understand how pollution destroys the ozone layer. He specifically studied chemical reactions on solid surfaces. UAW union members walked off the job today at Chrysler plants nationwide, but the two sides were not able to reach an agreement on a new contract by today's deadline. Boeing announced its 787 Dreamliner introduction will be pushed back by at least 6 months because of production delays. The MGM Mirage announced it will build a 72-acre gambling hotel and retail complex in Atlantic City at a cost of $4.5 to $5 billion. Chevron warned investors that its third-quarter earnings would be significantly below last quarter when the oil giant earned a record $5.4 billion. Gold is trading at $746 even an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $81.30 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange and near the close of Wall Street today. The Dow Jones is down 91 points at 14,073. The NASDAQ is up 8 points, while the S&P 500 is down 3 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The New York Times has uncovered a lot of details on exactly how our government has been mistreating people, whether it be torture or secret prisons or kidnapping or extraordinary rendition, which is a really nice way of saying kidnapping someone, bringing them to a foreign country and beating them senseless. The New York Times has also uncovered how the administration used a series of legal memos and lawyers and all their clever lawyerly reasoning to get out of the very strict requirements of the Geneva Conventions, which prohibit cruel, inhumane, degrading treatment of prisoners, and also to get out of John McCain's law, signed by, passed, I should say, by most Republicans and all Democrats, to ban torture in the United States. Now, George Bush says he doesn't torture. He's never ordered torture. But as the article makes clear, it's all about redefining torture. It's all about calling things that we do not torture, and then, hey, we don't torture at all. I want to spend the entire hour today talking about torture. And no, I don't mean the kind that occurs when a Baptist minister puts himself in a rubber suit and sexually pleasures himself into asphyxiation. No, I'm not talking about that. As much as I know Bob is going to want to discuss that at length in the prayer meeting coming up after my broadcast is through. No, I'm on a more serious topic. We've all known for quite some time that the Bush administration is the first administration in American history, the first in more than 200 years, in our entire existence as a nation, to have an official policy saying that torture is a good thing. Now, they don't call it torture, right? It's all about definitions. We don't torture. All we do is put someone in freezing cold temperatures, or deny them food, or deny them sleep, or slap them around the head a few times, or make them almost drown. But that's not torture, because it doesn't shock the conscience, because it's perfectly normal to do these kinds of things, and indeed George Bush is proud of them, although he won't say so publicly, showing his pride. I want to go through in detail the history of this, because when you explore the Inside Scoop on torture and the torture logic of our torture memos, I think it gives a very clear indication of what this administration is about. This is an administration that hates law, hates the rule of law, hates the Constitution, hates any restriction on the dictatorial powers that they believe the President of the United States has. In essence, the administration hates democracy. And really, I know it's a very strong statement, but I want to go through exactly what happened and give you the details you need to know. And also ask you your views on this. I thought, for all that some may complain about Hillary Clinton, that her response in a recent Democratic debate when she was pressed by, I believe it was Tim Russert. Tim Russert had asked Bill Clinton about the old ticking time bomb scenario, the kind that's in Jack Bauer's 24, where, you know, they're going to blow up New York, and it's going to happen any second, and do you torture the guy to find out? And that's always a difficult one, right? It's like, well, if you torture someone, it might save some lives. You know, when you pose the hypothetical that way, it always makes torture seem like it might be a reasonable thing to do. The trouble is, these hypotheticals never occur in reality. But Bill Clinton had said that he might consider something in that context. And then Hillary Clinton gave a very strong, very powerful response and said, no, torture can never be part of U.S. policy. If there's a ticking time bomb scenario, then some agent is absolutely sure, then they'll do what they have to do. We can have civil disobedience, right? Somebody can do what they have to do, torture someone, and if they're right and they save a bunch of lives, no jury in America will convict. That's what jury nullification is all about. But if they're wrong and they accidentally torture an innocent person, sorry, they go to jail. There should be an overwhelming bias against torture. And yet we know of a German citizen, not even an American citizen, a German citizen, kidnapped by the CIA in Macedonia, sent to one of our secret prisons in Kabul, Afghanistan, brutally beaten. He denied he has any connection to Al-Qaeda because he doesn't have any connection to Al-Qaeda. 6 months later, he was freed because he was innocent. Because apparently it's Bush's policy that you beat someone until proven innocent. Kind of different from innocent until proven guilty. He just took his case to the United States Supreme Court. And they held, eh. If the Bush administration wants to beat you senseless even though you're innocent for no reason, eh. Well, that's what America is all about. The government said that he can't talk about it because it's a state secret. And the court said, well, if the Bush administration says that we have to torture innocent people and beat them senseless in secret prisons in violation of Geneva Conventions, the Red Cross laws, and American laws against torture, and they don't want to talk about it, well, then it's okay. Then it's okay. Now, I have not liked to compare the Bush administration to fascists, to Nazis, to Stalin. And I haven't wanted to do that comparison because I think a government can be pretty bad, can be pretty awful, without rising to that standard. And I don't like that every time you dislike something that the government does, people rush to call that government Hitler. It is true that for all the people we have tortured and beaten, we have done nothing near on the scale, at least, of Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia. But what we learned from the New York Times article is that we actually have been copying Soviet interrogation techniques and that of the Egyptian and Saudi Arabian governments, both brutal dictatorships. And at some point you have to ask yourself, is this how Republicans see America? Is this what Republicans want for America? That one day we can be just like the former Soviet Union? That one day we can be just as free as people are in Saudi Arabia and Egypt? Are these the governments Republicans emulate? I don't know about Republicans, but they're certainly the governments that George Bush emulates. A man who made C's in college, perhaps because he believed that he knew all the answers. There comes a point, my friends, where someone gets so deluded, and often it's the son of the king, right? Louis XVI. When you're Prince George and you're born to be president and you're born with divine power, suddenly all these niceties like law and the Constitution, well, they're just silly. And so George Bush resorted to the same kinds of things they do and did in Soviet Russia, the same kind of things that dictators today do in Korea and Iran and wherever else. They argue that they're not doing a bad thing. They're not torturing. They just redefine what torture is all about. And I'm going to give you all the inside scoop on exactly how we did it right after the break. If you want to call in and comment on this, I encourage you to do so. If you have any questions, just give us a call. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Head-On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head-On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I've been on the air 4 years now, more than 4 years actually, going back to June of 2003. And ever since the earliest shows, I have done a number of shows on torture, on secret prisons, on kidnapping people, on violating the Geneva Conventions, on holding people without trial, without charges, without a lawyer. Whenever I've done these things and I've brought Republicans on the show, they've said, well, you know, none of this is really proven. You can't really say that we're doing this. Well, now it is. Now, thanks to the work largely of Jack Goldsmith, who was the former head of the Office of Legal Counsel, which is an interior executive department organization, group, whatever. It's a council. It's lawyers. It's the kind of lawyers who are supposed to keep the president from breaking the law. If the attorney general is the nation's lawyer, the Office of Legal Counsel is a special kind of lawyer to the president, not the kind that defends the president personally, so much as the kind that says, Mr. President, you can't do that. You have no right to do that. You're not the dictator. It's a very important little executive branch. There may be only 20-something lawyers in it, but they're crucial to protecting us. Well, when Jack Goldsmith came into the Office of Legal Counsel, let's talk about what he discovered. Back after 2001, after September 11th, the Bush administration adopted techniques that, to the best of my knowledge, have never before been used in all of American history, at least not publicly. Practices that the United States had expressly denounced in other countries. Secret detention camps, holding someone without trial, brutally beating prisoners. And it decided to do these torture techniques, what they called coercive interrogation or secret detention, without telling Congress, without any public debate. And what's fascinating about all of this is that if this is something that they considered legal, and they claim they consider it legal, if this is something that they believe is constitutional, and they claim in their legal memos that it's constitutional, then why the heck not brag about it? Why be so secret? Why not tell the entire world, yes, the Geneva Conventions? What crap? We don't follow such nice laws about prisoners of war and treating prisoners with respect and giving them food and water and all those other silly Red Cross things that were imposed after World War II because of how the Nazis treated Holocaust victims. We don't believe in any of that. Why not be public about it? The President of the United States said this week in response to this article, I have never ordered torture. Really? I guess it all depends what the definition of torture is. And the Bush administration won't tell us what the definition of torture is. One thing's for sure, they won't let the Red Cross see the prisoners. Heck, even the Nazis at Theresienstadt concentration camp allowed a limited Red Cross presence. Now, admittedly, at the time, they separated the gas chambers from some of the prisoners and put a few of the children in a freshly painted barracks and tried to trick the Red Cross into thinking they weren't murdering the people there. But they did bring them in. And ever since World War II, that's been part of international law. Indeed, those that have said that our former defense minister, Donald Rumsfeld, is a war criminal, have often cited our refusal to allow the Red Cross to see prisoners. And I just want you to think about this. This, in and of itself, totally apart from the torture techniques that I'm going to get to in a minute. How many times have United States citizens, people in our military, been taken by foreign governments? You know, whether it be in wartime, as, you know, Serbia took some prisoners when we were fighting them, or whether it be hostages or whatever it is. And we have said, you know, send the Red Cross in. Do the humanitarian thing, at least let us see and make sure the prisoners are okay. And virtually every government, from the most evil, from the most severe totalitarian dictator, has at least allowed the Red Cross to check in on the prisoners. What a wonderful precedent we're setting. If the United States government won't allow an international organization to check on our prisoners, I assure you, in the future, when Americans are taken hostage, they won't allow the Red Cross either. Why didn't we allow the Red Cross to see the prisoners? Well, maybe it's because of the specific techniques that we now know were approved by the Bush administration. Slaps to the head. They don't say how hard those slaps were. Maybe they think slaps to the head don't shock the conscience. But you can slap someone pretty damn hard. Hours held naked in a frigid cell. Think about it. You're naked, naked, completely naked, in a freezing cold cell. That's not torture, according to the Bush administration. Long days and nights without any sleep allowed. There'd be extremely loud rock music, I guess, pumped into the cell. I'm sure it wasn't good music. Now, I remember working on my college thesis. And due to my own procrastination, I had to get it done in a week, and I was running late, and I slept, maybe 10 hours in an entire week. And I was sick for a week thereafter, and I remember having little mini sleeps at my keyboard and hallucinating. Could it be that some of the things that were told while we were torturing these prisoners were their hallucinations? So slaps to the head, holding someone naked in a frigid cell, days and nights without sleep, long periods manacled in stressed positions, and, of course, waterboarding. Making sure that someone can't breathe and just barely goes short of drowning. Almost dead. Now, the president says none of these things are torture. Because none of these things violate the Geneva Conventions. They're not cruel. None of these things are cruel. It's not cruel to hold someone naked in a frigid cell while slapping him in the head and making sure they can't sleep and denying him food and manacling someone in a stressed position and trying to drown him. That's not cruel. That's not inhumane. That's not degrading. Why not? Because if it were any of those three terms, the president would be a war criminal. So it's none of those. It's everyday behavior. I'm sure George Bush does it to his wife every night, and his girls too. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind if someone took Laura Bush and slapped her on the head and held her naked in a frigid cell without sleep or food and tried to drown her. Would you mind, George? It's not cruel, it's not inhumane, it's not degrading, and it's not torture. That's what you say. According to the New York Times, never in United States history had we authorized such tactics. Never in the Revolutionary War, when the British looked like they were going to win. Never in the War of 1812, when they came and burned down the White House, the British. Never in the Civil War, the most brutal war in American history. We'd never done these things before. And most interrogators will tell you that actually, if you're less cruel, it's equally or more effective. But we talked to the Egyptian secret police, and we talked to Saudi intelligence, and we copied Soviet standards because we want to make the United States more like these countries. And you know what's interesting? The people in the CIA, the very people doing the torture, were concerned. They're like, well, I know I can withhold food, and I know I can leave someone in 50 degrees for days on end naked in a cell, but can I do them both at the same time? Well, they were concerned. And they were concerned by the idea that the American people might be upset. They were concerned that they were actually breaking the law. And when we come back, I want to talk about a case that concerned the CIA most of all. A specific case that happened in Peru that made the people in the CIA so concerned that they actually considered stopping their torture for a while until the president told them everything was A-OK. We'll be right back with that story and your calls right after the break. Toll free, 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Right back after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. The killing of two more innocent Iraqis by private contractors brings into sharp relief the cowboy mentality of these contractors and the idiocy of the policy behind them. It was never just about Blackwater. In fact, the company that did the latest shooting wasn't Blackwater. It was an Australian company called Unity Resources, which was hired by a private contractor to USAID. Bush has turned Iraq into a playground for private contractors, but a graveyard for Iraqis. Today, there are more than 180 private firms that operate in Iraq, employing 180,000 people, larger combined than the entire U.S. force. By relying so heavily on these private contractors, the Bush administration has been able to disguise the true size of the occupying force in Iraq. Occupation is an easier sell at 160,000 troops than at 340,000. But more than a camouflage job, and more than a boondoggle for Bush and Cheney's friends, privatization serves an ideological function. It is an attempt to discredit government itself. Hey, if even the Pentagon can't guard the U.S. ambassador, how can some Medicare bureaucrat provide health care to the elderly? And once Bush and Cheney junk government, why, then the corporations, they can run even wilder. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about torture and the tortured logic that the administration has used to justify torture. And I just want to say that, of course, even this discussion, the one we're having right here, is a great example of why we have the Head On Radio Network. Because I haven't heard a lot of discussion in the mainstream press about this. Oh, yes, you can watch NBC or CBS and get 2 minutes on the fact that I guess we're torturing people. But really, only at the Horn can you get a detailed look at how and why and where and when we've tortured people, the justifications for it. And I'm just very proud to be a part of this network. And, of course, the Head On Radio Network is listener-supported independent media. So there's a PayPal button over there at the headonradionetwork.com. It keeps this network running. And I want to encourage you folks to make a donation. Toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Chris, welcome from Texas. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Oh, we lost Chris from Texas. Wow. Okay, Dave from California, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. It is to me absolutely amazing the amount of criminal behavior that the administration gets away with. But the comment that I wanted to share, it is the opinion of every mental health professional I know of that one does not use torture to arrive at the truth. One uses torture to get people to say what you want them to say. You know?
That's exactly right. And, in fact, veterans of the intelligence have been telling the administration this for quite some time, that if you torture someone, they will tell you what you want them to say because they want the torture to stop. But if you want to get the truth, that actually one of the best ways to do it is trickery, which I have no problem with, by the way. Let me be very clear. If you want to trick or lie to a person in order to try to get them to tell you something, I have no problem with that. That's one of the great ways to find out what's going on.
Or to treat them in an extremely fair and reasonable manner, or even be friendly towards them.
Right. Good cop, bad cop is an old practice used by cops for generations. You know, and the bad cop can say, we're going to keep you in prison for the rest of your life if you don't talk. And the good cop can say, you know, we'll free you and we'll give you this, that, and the other. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But the slapping and the frigid temperatures and the waterboarding and is this what America has come to? We're trying to rival the gulag? Apparently so.
I've come to the belief that all this hateful criminal nonsense that they do, the harm that they inflict on us, it's more than just a byproduct of their greed. They are angry with us. You know, they are gratified by causing us grief. I think for one thing, they know how badly they had to cheat to get in office. They know how few votes they really got. I think that makes them very mad. So getting even with us is somehow appropriate.
Well, I think it's all about spreading fear. It's frankly how a dictator stays in power. You got to remember, a dictatorship is against the will of the majority of the people, right? I mean, that's the definition of a dictator. Now, you can have a benevolent dictator or a malevolent dictator, but in general, a dictator only stays in power when he, and it's almost always a he, I can't think of a female dictator. If someone can, let me know. But the dictator is when he convinces the majority of his citizens that they will be in severe trouble if they try to overthrow him. And it's all about creating fear. And what we're learning is that the Bush administration did the same thing. They created fear so that people wouldn't challenge them.
And if you or I pulled an electric drill on one or the other, we would be ready to confess to causing the Civil War and sinking the Titanic.
Sure. I'll confess to anything. I don't want to die, and I don't want to be tortured.
No.
And I would know at the time I was confessing that it was meaningless. And so it wouldn't be bad on my conscience at all. And I have to tell you, if you were ever tortured, by all means, confess. Confess to everything. Maybe a stronger person than I wouldn't do it. But I just to wait for the torture to stop, get to a free place, and then say everything I said was a complete lie. I only said it because I was under torture. And I think people would understand. I really do. I don't think my countrymen would be angry at me if I said anything while under torture.
We do appreciate your show, Mark.
And I appreciate your call, Dave. And Chris from Texas, I'm sorry we lost you, and I really encourage you to call back, 877-4-HEAD-ON or anyone else. Chris didn't want to hold over the break, but hopefully you'll call back in. Let me go through some of the legal justifications, because that's a torture in and of itself. We know that the CIA was concerned, and they were concerned about the law. They were concerned that they would get in trouble for torturing people. And that concern is a good thing. It shows there are still people who believe that the rule of law has power. They weren't morally troubled by the fact that they were torturing people, but they were worried about themselves. Listen, there are people who don't murder because they think murder's wrong, and there are other people that don't murder because they know murder's against the law and will get them in trouble, right? You know, there are people that don't use drugs because they think drugs will kill you, and there are people who don't use drugs because they're illegal. These were people who were afraid that their torture was illegal. And they were afraid because there were some CIA advisors to Peru who in 2001 shot down a missionary flight that they thought was drug-running aircraft. Okay? They thought these were drug dealers, so they shot them down to kill them, which does seem a bit excessive, doesn't it? I mean, can't you capture them and put them in prison? But turns out they're a bunch of missionaries. Killed a bunch of innocent people. And the Americans had to endure 3 years of investigation. They lost their careers, and they ran up big legal bills. It turns out they were never even charged with a crime. Accidentally killing innocent people over Peru, apparently, is not that big a deal, but they did lose their careers, and they did have big legal bills. Well, the Al-Qaeda interrogation team, or let's just say the interrogation team, because we don't know that everyone's Al-Qaeda, they were concerned. They were concerned that if they tortured someone and accidentally killed them, that they might have legal bills. It might hurt their careers. So they said to justice, we need very clear guidance. And they said, we can't accept, you know, do the best we can, because, hey, in Peru, they did the best they could and they got a grand jury. So they went to get a memo from a guy by the name of John Yoo. He's now a Berkeley law professor, and I know him pretty well. Not that I've talked to him in 15 years, because I haven't. But I went to law school with John Yoo, and I remember very clearly that he was someone who would say anything that the conservatives or the Federalist Society wanted him to say. He was someone who really you couldn't be logical with, but simply would spout off the spin and pretend that it was based on logic. And it turns out that's what he did in the Bush administration. In fact, even John Ashcroft referred to Mr. Yoo as Dr. Yes, because he would tell the administration anything they wanted to hear. Instead of being a lawyer who tells his client, you can't do that, it's against the law, this was a lawyer who knew that he would achieve very well in the White House if he gave any legal justification the White House demanded. And he has gotten very, very high by being Dr. Yes, by being a yes man. And he's the one who drafted the infamous memo that said no interrogation practices were illegal unless they led to organ failure or death. Okay, you can't actually kill someone. If you kill someone, maybe it's torture. I would argue that killing someone isn't torture at all. It's murder. That's not what we think of. We don't think of torture as killing someone. It's murder, and it's also illegal. He said, or if it leads to organ failure, that's illegal. So you can't cut out someone's heart. You can't give them something that disables their liver. But you can still do bamboo shoots under the fingernails. Those aren't organs. Don't forget the rack. Stretching someone till their bones break, bones aren't organs. Right? Feeding someone until they're bruised all over. I mean, I guess skin is an organ, but I don't think that's what Mr. Yoo meant when he talked about organ failure. So, that was the rule. And that was the rule we followed for quite a long time. Jennifer from Washington State, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark.
Thanks for calling in.
About torture.
Yeah.
Have you read my Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine?
I haven't. Naomi Klein, what's the name of the book?
The Shock Doctrine.
The Shock Doctrine. I haven't read it. Tell me about it.
It's definitely worth reading. And reading this book, it occurs to me that we're not using torture to get information, because everyone knows that doesn't work. But the shock doctrine is a real doctrine, and it's about keeping people in such a state of disorientation and confusion and fear that it's very easy to be a father figure to them, to lead them down the garden path, if you will. And I honestly am thinking that the reason we're using torture and the reason we have let it leak out, I don't think these leaks are accidental, by the way.
Interesting.
I think every leak is planned. And I
think this isn't about torturing prisoners until the prisoners themselves feel disoriented and look to us as a father figure. You think this is about scaring Americans until we're so scared that we look on the government as a father figure.
Right, and the rest of the world.
So it's a lot like 1984.
Huh?
It's a lot like 1984. Big Brother did exactly that.
Yeah, I think that's their handbook. I swear, I think that's their handbook.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, in the way they give statements. I mean, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. The war is peace. They clearly, it does
you,
seem
you
that
remember,
in their propaganda, they emulate 1984.
Bush make that very statement. Now, you see, when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
Right, right.
You know, that's one of my favorite Bush quotes.
Well,
because
I think
it is so 1984, and I think
it is their manual. I think it definitely
mm-hmm,
is.
I do.
But what's interesting to me about what you're saying is you think the purpose of these techniques and the purposeful leaking is really about scaring Americans, which is kind of what Dave had to say too.
They want to keep us afraid.
To what purpose?
So
do we vote
we
for them when we're afraid?
We will be more amenable. We will be more. More malleable. Frightened people are very malleable.
Is it because if we are afraid of being tortured, we won't speak out? That I mean, you know, it's funny. In the chat room on the horn, people are warning me all the time, Mark, you know, be careful. You'll be sent to Guantanamo Bay. And maybe I'm just stupid and that I think that as an American, I still should be free to speak out and criticize these things without consequence. But is that what it is, to keep people like me and not speaking out because we'd be afraid that we'll be tortured or something?
Hasn't it ever crossed your mind that you could disappear?
It has, but that's why I jokingly tell people at the horn, you know, hey, if I'm sent to Guantanamo Bay, please lead a protest. If I don't appear on the air one day, look, come find me. Come find me.
I know it seems outrageous. And there's no lie that is more easy to sell than an outrageous one, because of the fact that people say, that's outrageous. That couldn't happen here. That couldn't happen here. Mark, it can happen here.
Well, we know already that American citizen Jose Padilla was taken at Chicago Airport and held in jail for many years without trial. And in fact, just recently I talked about the case of I think it's Al. What's his name? The German citizen who was taken, Khaled Al-Masri.
Yeah.
Who was taken to Afghanistan and tortured, he had done absolutely nothing wrong. He was kept in this tiny filthy cell and shackled and drugged and beaten and interrogated and. The worst part is when he sues and the Supreme Court says, sorry, yeah, that's just the way America is. We randomly pick up people and torture them. Oops. No one is ever held accountable for that. It makes it clear that we are becoming the Soviet Union. And it is very scary.
It's Stalin's Russia right now.
It's very scary. And, you know, I don't know how Americans – it's one of the reasons why I have Republicans on my show, is because I can't understand how they can deal with it. I mean, how do they put that in their heads? I'm going to have another one on soon just so I can ask him that question.
Yeah.
How can you possibly justify not even hearing the case? I mean, the Supreme Court said, if the government says it's a state secret, then all right. So we tortured a few people and killed a few people and beaten a few people. And, oh, well, that's what governments do.
Mark, what about the prison right in New York City that right now is housing I don't know how many Middle Eastern people who are probably innocent of any wrongdoing, who have not been allowed an attorney, who have been, yes, indeed, tortured, because some of them have gotten out and spoken about it. How about that? Those
you
people
know,
just
I'll tell you what it is.
I'll
tell you what it is. If you are not an American citizen, I mean, and we talked about Jose Padilla precisely because he is an American citizen.
He sure
but
is.
But largely it's the exception. Generally, most of these vicious things that our government does are done to non-citizens. And I think that's one reason why the American people kind of let it happen and don't talk about it very much, because they think, oh, well, you know, I'm a citizen. What's that?
You know, come on, people, wake up.
I'll tell you, the German government is not taking this lightly. They have indicted 13 people in the CIA. They will not be allowed to leave the United States or go to Europe because they will be captured. And if they, and I hope they are. And I hope they're tried, and I hope they're sent, you know, after a fair trial, sent to a German prison for life. And wouldn't
Donald
that be
Rumsfeld
a terrific...
one of them.
Yeah, well...
He cannot go to Germany.
That's right.
And there's quite a few...
And isn't it sad that the same country that we taught Nuremberg laws to is now having to teach the same lesson to us? I mean, isn't that... I mean, irony doesn't quite cut it. It's disgusting. It's shameful.
It's beyond irony. And I'll tell
it's
you something.
It's shameful.
This country has gone so far to the right. We are so totally morally bankrupt as a country right now. We are despised all over the world. I watched a documentary yesterday about Iraq that just broke my heart. And all this documentary showed was a day in the life of an Iraqi family.
Yeah.
What those people are living is unbelievable.
I know. I showed a on my television show. It's still in my video archive. That you really should take a look at. It's Are We Creating More Terrorists Than We Kill? Was the name of the show where I showed a YouTube from an Iraqi family. But
well,
one distinction
I
want to make with you, Jennifer.
Terrorist for a minute there.
I want to make one distinguishing thing, though, Jennifer. When you say that we are morally... Well, one thing I want to say, when you say we are morally bankrupt as a country, I have to say this. I think that there should always be a distinction made between the government of the United States and the American people, because I think we are coming out of this morass. I think that the American people are waking up. It's been slow, admittedly. It's been too slow, admittedly. I agree with all of that. But I do think... There's a reason why George Bush's approval ratings in the toilet. There's a reason why we elected a Democratic Congress. There's a reason why hopefully we're going to elect a Democratic president in 2008, because the American people don't want to be known as the country that approves of torture. So I just want to make the distinction. I don't want to – I think – maybe the bottom of my heart, I'm an optimist and I'm a patriotic American, and I consider Bush a cancer on this nation. But I think that the nation itself is still healthy enough to reject this, and maybe I'm just hopeful.
No, I think you're right. I think if you asked any individual in this country if they approve of it, they would say no, with few exceptions. You
right.
Know, there would
well,
be
one of the things I want to talk
heard
about.
People say, hell yes, I would do that.
And I want to thank you for your call, Jennifer, and I want to encourage you to call in again sometime. You were a terrific caller. In the last few minutes, though, I want to go over how the American people and the representatives responded to these early tortures by the Bush administration, and how the Bush administration used tortured logic to get around the law. All right? So
okay.
Here it is. Thanks for your call, though, Jennifer, and I hope you'll call
thank
again
you,
sometime.
Mark.
So here it is. We've approved John Yoo's memo that says you can do all these awful things. And we did them, you know, hundreds of times on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. We now know that he told the interrogators virtually anything, exaggerated, false, it didn't matter. We now know, at least some of us know, that actually, as Dave put it, you know, patient, repeated questioning is better than harsh physical pressure. But What happened is a new guy came into the Office of Legal Counsel, Jack Goldsmith, who's now written a book on this that describes the details of – I mean, he's really the one probably who we should thank for these leaks. I don't know that I agree with Jennifer that they were planted by the administration. I don't know. But I do know that Jack Goldsmith got in a lot of hot water because he rejected the surveillance program. He rejected the torture memo. He rejected all of that, just like James Comey did. And the Justice Department, 6 months later, and this is, I think, again, reflecting the values of the American people who are watching this, said in a new legal opinion that got rid of John Hughes, the first sentence, quote, "Torture is abhorrent both to American law and values and to international norms." Footnote. And in the footnote, it said, that doesn't mean that anything the CIA has done has been illegal. In fact, everything they did in the past was perfectly legal. Talk about bearing the lead. Torture is abhorrent both to American law and values and to international norms. First sentence. Footnote. That doesn't mean we've ever done anything wrong. And indeed, the Justice Department then set out to fire those who were dissenting. One of the first was a guy by the name of Daniel Levin. Like my name, only without E on the end, L-E-V-I-N. Nice to know that my namesake also backed the dissents, also rejected torture, and found himself a new job. No, instead they hired a guy named Bradbury. And Bradbury was put on a notice, really. He was a good old Federal Society guy. He was someone who seemed to want to do everything the Bush administration wanted to do, but they put him on probation and kept him on probation, did not tell him whether or not he would get the job until they made sure that he did everything the White House wanted him to do. It's a great way to take a watchdog agency like the Office of Legal Counsel and make sure they follow everything. Comey objected, and Bradbury did things like block career lawyers. Remember, this is supposed to be not a political position, but career lawyers, people like an Ivy League law professor that he made sure would not get in the way. He approved the combined techniques. You can freeze someone and deny them food and water while slapping them and drowning them. Comey, to his credit, said, this is from the New York Times, at one testy 2004 White House meeting, Comey said no lawyer would endorse John Hughes' justification for the surveillance program. Addington disagreed. Addington, of course, is Cheney's lawyer, the guy who has been behind all of these surveillance and torture memos. And Comey shot back, no good lawyer. So he was someone who was willing to stand up. But he left. This is, of course, the same question that I've always been asked with Colin Powell. You know, what do you do when you're in a corrupt administration and you see evil things happening? Do you try, as Powell did, to stay in there, not criticize it publicly, and work it from the inside, which turned out to be ineffective? Or do you do what Comey did, which is leave and criticize the administration, the more respectable thing, but he left. He wasn't there. And Bradbury was in charge of the Office of Legal Counsel. And so even when the United States Congress, under the influence of John McCain, in an overwhelming vote, 90 senators voted that we do uphold the Geneva Conventions, a vote that isn't even necessary because the Geneva Conventions are already American law. Even though the Convention Against Torture prohibits cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment, here comes another secret memo by Bradbury. Nothing we've done is cruel, inhumane, or degrading. It's not cruel to slap someone in the head senseless. It's not inhumane to deny someone food and sleep. It's not degrading to put someone naked in a cell at freezing temperature until they're shivering. That's not degrading. It's perfectly normal stuff. Waterboarding. Simulated drowning. Not a problem. It was Bradbury who took the president's signing statement after that congressional law and made sure that it had no basis, that it had no meaning whatsoever. George Bush says we don't torture, but he defines none of the practices he's ever done as torture. And that, my friends, is not just torture. It's tortured logic. That's it for the Inside Scoop today. Tune in tomorrow. For now, there's a Bob Kincaid's prayer meeting coming up. This is Mark Levine signing off.
The Quality News Network. President Bush wants to give telecommunications companies immunity in the new eavesdropping law. The legislation would allow the National Security Agency to listen in to phone conversations without warrants. The multinational force in Iraq will be down to 7,000 troops, excluding American forces. That is down from the once 50,000-member large coalition. U.S. forces in Iraq are at a peak surge high of 168,000 forces currently. In Pakistan, as many as 250 people have been killed in recent fighting near the Afghan border. The Pakistani army halted attacks today so that local residents could attend funerals. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent state to have pre-1967 borders. He is also calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territories it captured four decades ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!